Hey, Simpsons fans, welcome to a very special audio commentary. This is episode 1F16, Burns' Air. First aired April 14th, 1994. My name is Matt Groening.
This is Dave Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
David Silverman here, supervising director.
Mark Kirkland, director.
Jace Richdale, writer.
Jace Richdale!
Hooray! Jace Richdale! Oh, it's good to have Jace here. He's also a co-executive producer on this episode.
So where did this episode come from?
Let's see. Where did this episode come from? I remember I just started on the show, and Dave said, you got like the first day I came in, you said you got to pitch some stories.
Did I say it the first day?
Yeah, literally the first
more
day.
More like this. You got to pitch some stories.
Yeah. So I literally like threw this off the top of my head, and it turned out being something. And every time I ever actually tried to put some thought into a story and really do one, it never went anywhere. So I don't know how this, you know, actually came to fruition so quickly. But.
Well, this is a great idea. It was a fantastic idea, Jason. And I will say up front, and this is an interesting set of, by the way, I love this, which Jace came up with. Just a hilarious opening that Homer is, they're using him to clean out the chimneys.
Very useful job.
This season, season 5, involved the exodus of a lot of the classic Simpson writers because they kind of were burnt out and they had other opportunities and all this. And a whole new group came on, and then I was running the show, and Jace was my first choice to come over because we had worked together on Get a Life and even on The Edge, and Jace was nice enough to come over and join me. I was so grateful for that. Yeah. We paid him well. And it was a whole new group to work with, and it was a lot of pressure because a lot of people were learning. And, you know, we had a lot of stuff to fill. And Jace was, throughout these entire seasons, incredibly helpful and invaluable and irreplaceable to me. And a huge contributor throughout all the shows. This one, not so hot.
Yeah,
but
I have many others. Dave's children at my house that I'm holding to make sure that he speaks well of me here.
So this was his first. And, again, a great job. And I think people enjoy this episode, and I get a lot of comments about it, because, again, they love to get into the characters of Mr. Burns and get into the details of the character and their backstory and their life and the details of it, and we do get to see a lot of that here.
You almost killed me!
Look how muscular he is there all of a sudden.
David, when you took over as executive showrunner, that's when I noticed the hippie environmental jokes coming into the show.
Yes, it's mostly my life and Greenpeace and all that stuff. Due to my hectic
schedule in the third. You know, we did a promotion with Burger King and it's sort of an environmental message on the cups, on these plastic cups that they gave out. And with the idea being that we were going to give the proceeds to an environmental group.
Right.
No environmental group would take.
Because it was on plastic cups.
Yeah, plastic cups.
We were making a huge amount of landfill to say,
but
hey.
They weren't supposed to be recycled. You're supposed to collect them and save
them.
Oh,
I see.
That was the thinking.
And throw them in a landfill.
I love that joke of that Mr. Smithers is going to be buried alive with Mr. Burns.
And his coffin.
And the little tiny version of Smithers panicking has been made. It's actually in the model, so Smithers can see this. We wrote this opening. I think I wanted to do this THX thing and add it to them going to the movies. And we wrote this thing, and George Lucas loved it so much that they called from ILM and asked, which is his big company up there, Industrial Light and Magic, and said, can we make that into a real movie trailer for a THX? And we, of course, said, yes, for the right amount of money, we'll do anything you want. And so a deal was cut. They made a big version of it, and it was hugely popular. It paid for about 3 years until people were absolutely sick of it.
But wasn't it the same animation?
It was the same animation, but somehow they made it big, and I think they computer enhanced it so that you could blow it up.
I think we had to reshoot it or something like
that.
Did they
reshoot it? Because it was anamorphic. By the time it got
in the theater, it didn't look that good to me. I mean, it was a funny joke, but.
But the head exploding, by the way, was a Dave Merkin.
Amazing. Don't pay
attention. The head exploding.
That's a Dave Merkin.
Well, I have a question about this THX
head.
Thing and all these other sound systems. You know, they do the...
Right, right.
To me, that's a horrible sound. It's a very unpleasant sound. They always use this weird synth sound.
Yes.
Rather than something that really demonstrates how great the speakers are.
It's absolutely true.
Isn't that weird?
Well, it's all about annoying people instead of entertaining them now. We've given
like
up trying to entertain you. We really just want to annoy you. I love that Nelson punches him there. There was a big argument, as Jace pointed out, when we did the THX thing about whether or not that person's head could explode from the sound. I was a big, obviously, proponent for any head exploding at any time.
Even in all your movies.
Right. Generally in my movies.
The remake of Jane Eyre you're doing is that the head explodes.
That's what people want to see. Yeah. And, you know, actually, if you look in Jane Austen's original stuff, you know, and a lot of this also, there's lots of head explosions that have been edited out.
It's
a big problem.
Lines,
exactly. You have to understand the intention.
There's a lot of that in Henry James, too.
Yeah.
By the way, in the earlier, Mr. Burns was doing a parody of a trailer for a film, I think now forgotten, called Toys.
Tall Toys, starring Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
And it was a very forgettable film even at the time.
Exactly.
And we were kind of making fun of that. And now it's just this very obscure reference.
It was a fairly memorable trailer. The trailer was very unusual.
It was very odd. And it did not help the movie.
Not one bit.
Here's another one of the family just staring at her as she's
standing. Different members of the family are losing their ability to think properly.
This is a great, this is one of my favorite bits of card reading and Homer coaching
Homer's
him.
Writing.
This, I believe, is all Jace's original thing. So it's very, very funny in his original
script. That's great. He card reads good.
That's the way I write, pretty much. So.
Disregard.
He can't remember his boss's name at this point.
We were debating, too, should we have that off screen and just play it all on BART? But I think it worked better having
it. Perfect. You know how complicated it is.
Just very all the work he goes into involved, that's involved in this.
And then how much Homer enjoys it is quite the... The true love between a father and son here.
If there's a laugh, Homer will grab it with both hands. He can't get over it. Look, he's still smiling.
He's still enjoying it. Why?
Look at his face.
There sure is. Kids, you tried your best, and you failed miserably.
I use this philosophy with my daughter.
It's worked very well for her, I understand.
Never try. It's one of the main philosophies of the Simpsons is give up, everybody.
Yeah.
And he started to laugh about the boot again.
Right in the butt.
I guess I'll have to leave all my money to the Egg Advisory Council.
You like the Egg Advisory Council, don't you?
We did another egg reference in another episode.
Right, right.
We actually see an egg guy. I had a lot against them for whatever reason. And this is the proper reaction to a small child for being kicked in the butt.
Yeah.
This is actually quite a brilliant little mini Bart prank here.
Yeah, I think this came in after the animatic, if I'm not mistaken.
I like that the hose...
Oh, you love those post-animatic rewrites? Where, yeah.
No, we don't love them, but that's one we got.
It's really a dream to be able to go back to your childhood and come up with those kinds of, you know, things
pranks
that you never got to do. And then,
oh, you didn't actually do that, Chase?
No, but I've done it several times since.
Oh, great. As an adult, you do it. That's right.
I do it frequently at my neighbor's.
What day is this? Huh? I'll tell you what day it is. The day is the day you become my heir. I like him a lot.
Great reading by Harry. Harry is so fantastic as Mr. Burns. There's no doubt about that.
Just sign here, and your son will stand to inherit my entire estate.
Woohoo! We're rich! Bart, get over to the mansion and open up all the windows. You want to get the old people smelling before we move in.
Not too keen.
No heart problems or anything.
I like this. This is a good twist. We had to add this.
I'm okay.
Just so we didn't have to deal with it again.
Yeah.
So it's not the show doesn't become about that.
That's right. We show a heart attack, and then we can get out of it by, I'm okay. Yeah. It's like, that's the great thing about this show.
Say there's two or three scenes.
Also, Grandpa's there for his joke.
Right. I always he wasn't there before, he was not there after.
Just there for the joke.
You know, Bart, since he is giving... And there's some great directing in here, again, by Mark. You know, the lighting and the angles, and especially there's a lot spent at Burns' mansion, and that does give you a lot of opportunities for some really cool looks.
Lurking in the bushes outside Chef Boyardee's.
Speaking of directing, David Silverman, you were going to direct this episode.
Yes, I started like the first act. I think I was so much work to do with supervising director, I was going crazy, and somebody noticed that I was going crazy and took me off.
That nervous breakdown of yours.
Something like that.
Yeah. That affected it.
We shouldn't talk about it. He killed three people.
How can you tell when an animator
is going
crazy?
We're going to talk about that.
That's an interesting question.
Yes.
Anything you want to eat, even some sort of gelatin dish. It's made from hooves, you know.
It's made from hooves.
Yeah, we threw in the hooves. I like people to know if they're eating gelatin, they're basically eating cow hooves. Yeah. A lot of pleasure out of the
I actually don't. I think it's actually cow bones. I don't know if it's hooves.
It really is hooves.
I think the pleasure in watching those two interact is how out of touch Burns is with a child's life.
I just threw on an old rerun. No one will know the difference.
Things never go right for Krusty. He throws on a rerun out of hundreds and hundreds, and it happens to be this one.
Children, remain calm. The Falkland Islands have just been invaded. The Falklands have just been invaded.
Why did the kids need to know about that?
Right, he's got the map. He's ready to go. He's doing the report. And a kid's show would really be interested in the Falkland Islands.
Very educational.
Cameras planted in every home in Springfield. I got the idea from that movie Sliver.
We give credit to Sliver right in the show. There was a movie called Sliver that had
the most parodied movie ever, Sliver.
There's no one else here.
Obviously a reference to Taxi Driver. Never ever been done
before.
Never
references.
I do like how angry he gets.
People ask me about this a lot.
Homer's secret shame, as we later call it.
Oh, good.
He likes to eat flowers.
Oh, that explains his mysterious trip to Holland.
Another reference to Homer actually traveling outside the United States. We're putting more and more into the show in these years.
Hardwood floors and a bottomless pit.
It couldn't possibly be bottomless.
Well, for all intents and purposes.
Hey, Mom!
I think this is nicely done, the way we see that now that Bart has money, or potential money, that he can get away with anything he wants.
Just like real life.
Just like real life.
Okay. Lisa, quit getting in the way of your wealthy brother's peas.
Oh, yuck. Meatloaf. My most hated of all loaves.
That was the end piece.
That's the one thing that will get Homer angry.
But I will not stand idly by and watch you feed.
I think originally we had to cut it for time was that was the end piece. The end piece.
Yeah.
The agony.
This is my destructive side. I'm suffocating here.
Aren't you listen?
Don't go eat some flowers.
My secret change.
So did we have animation talk that we were talking about?
We had an original gag here that we didn't end up using.
It will happen soon, yes. We will talk about that.
Right.
Bartholomew! Ugh! Get it off me!
That was a nice touch, adding the bike.
Very funny.
It's very perfect how Homer does everything wrong.
He's oblivious.
He doesn't.
Is he? Bart, they shoot bees at you?
Well, right here is where we chopped out a
huge piece.
I think the largest piece of animation.
We'll talk about
that
later,
did.
Apparently.
No, right now. This is where it would be. We used to have, when we say the dogs with bees in their mouths, and when they bark, they shoot bees at you. What followed them then is that Mr. Burns says, release the robotic Richard Simmons.
I mean, we can't be police.
A robot
Richard Simmons was, is?
Is like an exercise guru who's actually quite out of shape. But he gets very, very heavy people, thinner at least, kind of like him, you know, kind of into the pudgy realm, I suppose, is sort of his thing.
His lawyer's right outside, by the way.
His lawyer's right outside. And Richard was very, by the way, he was very excited to do the show, was dying to do the show. When we said it was going to be, what it was is a Richard Simmons robot that Burns has. He comes out and he starts saying, you know, let's sweat to the oldies, and he starts dancing. It's so annoying, and they can't shut him off. And then Smooth goes, that butt's going to blow, because he starts shaking his butt, and the robot eventually blows up. And they actually try and stop him with a gun, and it becomes like the Terminator. His head, like, regenerates and becomes liquid, just like T2. That whole sequence, first of all, Richard Simmons turned us down because he said he didn't want to play a robot, even though it was a robot version of himself. For some reason, that offended him.
He'd rather be himself. Yeah,
so he'd rather play himself than a robot self. I don't know why he was so worried about being a robot. So Dan did a great impression of him, and we did this sequence, and we played it all the way up through the color. And it always died in the room. You know, we have these screenings. We have a screening at the animatic time where everybody sits and watches, and we do a huge rewrite based on that. And then a couple of weeks before the show airs, we have a big color screening that actually looks a lot like what you're seeing. And we also rewrite from there. This is great.
David Silverman animation, folks.
Very nice.
I forgot about that.
Very nice.
Nice kick in the head.
But I don't know how to drive.
But this Richard Simmons thing would die.
This is, by the way, I'm interrupting for a second. This is a great scene.
This is a great scene. Yeah, greatly animated. We'll get back to the rest of the story in a second. Let's watch this, because there's an introduction of a new character here.
Yeah.
There he is.
There he is.
The Estonian dwarf.
Estonian dwarf, yes.
You're telling me.
Now, that came about, that little tag, because the script that I got called for Bart to be driving on a road with a train, and the train was going around switchbacks and hitting him, and
the car would roll down
the hill. It was so difficult to even visualize it. I turned four shades of pale yellow, and David Silverman rescued me and made a call. And
he showed up in person. He said, you know, it's really hard to have a train coming down a mountain. It's one continuous shot hitting a car again and again.
We could do it. It would just take like 2 weeks to figure that out. And he's trying to ship the entire show. So
we got that little dwarf popping his head up with that line. And that was the rewrite. It was so simple.
Instead of the train coming down the mountain, you know.
It was great, too, because then he comes back later. You'll see. It was a great character.
We brought that Estonian dwarf back several times, and he always scores.
Yeah.
And here's a nice moment.
I missed you.
It's a nice reading of Dan of the robotic moment.
He starts kissing him.
Mo Man doesn't blink.
He never stops kissing him throughout this episode now.
He becomes visibly affectionate.
Well, the final part of the Richard Simmons thing is that because it got all the way to color, it existed as a piece of footage. And at various times, I will travel around and speak. I mean, we all will. David Silverman and I traveled around and did some speaking and went to some comedy festivals. And we brought material that had been cut out of the show to show people things they hadn't seen. We did put in the Richard Simmons thing. We put it into one of the clip shows later. But the first time we got an inkling of it, we played it in front of Simpsons fans. It was the biggest set of laughs versus any long show we played. And you just were really annoyed that we had cut it, you know. Because it just died in the room every time we played it. And then when you play it for the people out there, they loved it. They absolutely roared through the whole thing. So sometimes our screenings can be very, very helpful, but sometimes you never know. You just never know.
Yeah.
Hey, what?
Most of the times we make the right cuts, I think, but every now and then you're like, oh.
Yeah, sometimes some great stuff for one reason or another. And maybe in the context of the show, maybe it was something that worked
better.
Yeah,
I think it changed the tone of the show. I think that was the idea, is that the animation was very, very carefully done, and it felt like a distraction from the story.
That might have been the reason. And by itself, it was hilarious.
Right.
But without, you know, by itself, it killed.
I love this gag.
This is so great.
Yeah. And Jace, beautiful. This is very classic.
This is very classic. I love the way the camera takes us right into the next room.
Homer Simpson doesn't say. And I like the person who's playing Homer.
And he can't remember what he says until he looks it up.
But I'm having trouble with this character. Is he supposed to have some
who's
kind
doing
of
the Michael
Caine impairment?
I believe that's Dan.
I think it is too.
I believe it's Dan.
What the hell am I doing here?
Fantastic.
Dialogue has none of the wit and sparkle of Murphy.
As you might remember from another commentary,
the Estonian dwarf.
There's an Estonian dwarf.
We'll all be back doing come blow your horn at the Westport dinner. Right, then let's see what the old Simpson family.
We had a show, the Quickie Mart show, where Apu gets fired from the Quickie Mart with James Woods.
Right.
We originally had written that for Michael Caine. Michael Caine said no. We put him in the show anyway, sort of, with Dan doing him and that. So that's Michael Caine showing up. We do love Michael Caine. We absolutely love him, and that's why we just couldn't resist using him.
Ooh. Going back, I love the poor Duh-oh.
Yes, even given the note that he has to say Duh, he still doesn't say it right, but yet it convinces Bart.
Oh, watch this Homer, too. When he goes down, watch this. He never moves.
He's dead. He definitely lost his consciousness there. I love the way that we see that, that Burns wants him to have bad posture and wants him to eventually grow a mighty hump there.
No, I've noticed something in this episode. We've got the slight walleye, which I've always intended from the very beginning on a lot of the characters. If you can tell me why I shouldn't fight. I really like that.
Yeah.
We sort of lost it.
Yeah.
Okay. I love how easily Lenny jumps into the, all right, okay,
yeah. He tries. This happens to him a lot.
And he did really well, too, and yet he still is thrown down the hall where he does say E.
I'm a good work guy.
And Bart's pretty sadistic to enjoy this.
Hey, the trail of donuts, yes, this was an interesting moment.
What a coincidence.
And very, very good timing again by Harry on that one.
Go ahead, Bartholomew. You may fire when ready.
This is a great way to end the story. I mean, it was a real heartfelt thing.
It was very sweet.
Yeah.
It was very sweet. And I love the way we do this angle, which kind of fools you.
Wealth and luxury, the gift certificate from Blockbuster Video, the freedom to do whatever you want.
I'll miss you, son.
I'm sorry, Dad. You're fired.
What?
That's great.
Fire me. That does it. You can.
I can't guess what's coming.
I've seen it.
a little bit left. And he's, oh, sure, whatever you need.
Oh, I missed my mark. I'm sorry.
And of course, Smithers jumps right down with him. That's loyalty, kids. I know
you're upset. Is that the end of Smithers and Burns?
I guess so.
It's a lot of flexibility to be able to basically kill your characters in the middle of the show and then have them come back next week.
Works with Mole Man pretty well.
Me too. That midget taught me a lot about his native Estonia.
The point is, the real...
I like how she steps back there.
She keeps her actors clear.
Right, play to the theater.
Right back at you, son. And now I want you to meet your new brother, Hans Mole Man.
Cowabunga, dudes.
Homer,
you cannot resist. He's sexually excited by Mole Man.
Like kissing a peanut.
Like kissing a peanut.
The dog's happy about it, though.
Marge calls Mole Man a thing.
I forgot about that ending. Very good show.
Very good show, Jace. Great job, man.
Thank you.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, all by myself.
Oh, these guys probably helped, too, a little.
I like that, by the way, that sign at the Happy Earwig Motel. Our crawl space now...
Oh, God.
Cut this out. Our crawl space now body free. That was one of my favorite sign gags ever.
Easy to read, hard to say.
Yes. All right.
The joke, the thing about Paul McCartney out of Wings. You idiot, he was the best one.
That was a great line.
Fantastic line.
That was a great line. And Paul later does the show. We'll tell you about that and another commentary. Stay tuned.
Woohoo!